So I'm joined now by Emma Johnson of Emma Johnson's Gravy Boat. Welcome to the five albums you'll hear in heaven, Emma.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm really excited, if a little nervous.
No need to be nervous. Before we start talking about your album picks, I understand that you've just released a new album. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
So we've just released our debut album, which is called Worry Not, and it's a kind of a cinematic contemporary jazz album, which is loosely based around the themes of kind of worry and stress and dealing with those. I wrote it before the pandemic, and we were meant to record it in April 2020. And then we kind of had to wait a whole year to record it. And then we've just released it. So it's been really nice to finally get to share the music, and the response has been really lovely. And yeah, it's really exciting for it to be out there.
And I guess it's taken on a whole new level of meaning now, given all the things that we've had to worry about over the last couple of years.
Yeah, I think it's been really interesting. Like, obviously, when I wrote it, the worries at the time for me were a house flood and some other bits and bobs of like kind of niggly, just like doubt voices and stuff like that. But loads of people obviously have messaged saying, oh, worry not, you know, what a poignant title, and based on the year that we've all had. And it's just been really interesting. Different people are hearing different things in it, which is quite an exciting thing, I think, about writing and sharing music.
Great. And will you be taking the album out on tour?
Yeah, sure thing. So we did three socially distanced album release dates. So we played at Brudenell in Leeds, and we went over to Newcastle and played at a venue called Bobbix. And we also went to Otley for the first time and played at Otley Courthouse. But then later in the year, we're kind of going further afield. So we're doing our first UK tour in late autumn. And the dates should be released really soon. So if you kind of want to check out the album, or you're interested in knowing where we're heading to, then kind of my website's a good place for that.
Great stuff. So yeah, let's move on to the main event now. So the five albums you'll hear in heaven. So the first category is your tens. So this is an album that reminds you of your childhood. What have you chosen for this?
Sure thing. So I think the common theme with all of these is that it was a very difficult decision to narrow it down. And I think like throughout my whole kind of musical upbringing, there's been sort of two worlds. So there's been like a kind of pop singer-songwriter side of music that I really enjoy and that I listen to, and then maybe not in my childhood but kind of beyond that, and there's been like the jazz kind of side of like learning and practice and all that sort of thing. So it's been kind of interesting and difficult to like navigate which side to pick for some of these. But the childhood one, really, I've chosen a track or an album by The Beautiful South. The majority of my childhood musical memories are just in the car or in the kitchen with my mum and dad, and the music that they sort of had on all the time. So it was all Beautiful South, Bare Naked Ladies, George Michael, and an artist that I'm going to come back to later on, Norah Jones. Her first album came out when I was 10, and she's been kind of like constant in my musical kind of evolution. But yeah, I ended up choosing Beautiful South, and actually a compilation album. The album that was on the most really was Carry On Up the Charts. The songwriting is all just so melodic, really clever lyrically, you know, fairly simple instrumentation, but just brilliant songwriting, really. And the tune that I've chosen is Let Love Speak Up Itself.
Great track, great album, and a local-ish band as well. Hailing from Hull. Not many bands from Hull that made it as big as the Beautiful South. So let's move on to your teens now. And this is an album that defines your teens. What have you chosen for this?
So I've gone jazzy for this. And I've chosen probably the most classic Dexter Gordon album from 1962, which is Go. Again, this was a real tricky one for me because obviously, I guess your teens span like a lot of things. So from the sort of the first bands that I went to see live, listening to a load of indie and rock music at kind of high school. I remember like printing off all the tabs to American Idiot, the album by Green Day, and just like learning to play along with it on the guitar. So there was all this kind of side of things that came earlier in my teens. But then I started playing the saxophone kind of mid-teens. I joined a big band. And then I went to sixth form college, and that's where I was introduced to this album. I played some transcriptions for it for my A-level kind of music exams and just got into improvising and learning about jazz music and listening to jazz music, and made a load of really great friends there who I kind of still hang out with and chat about this music and play with. And it was kind of difficult to choose between those two like really separate worlds. But yeah, for my introduction to kind of hard bop and amazing tenor players, I've chosen Go. And the track from it that I've picked is the only Dextagon original on there, which is Cheesecake.
Great stuff. I don't think there are many teens out there that would choose a classic jazz album to define their teenage years. That clearly shows your devotion to the art.
I think this was the most difficult one. Like there were so many albums, and I actually had a really great time kind of just listening back through loads of different things that I discovered. Like there were so many kind of long bus journeys to go to, like to and from college every day, and just albums that I just listened to over and over again. Like I guess I probably wouldn't be doing what I'm doing now, and I wouldn't have ended up going to, you know, like kind of going on to study music at university and going on to be a sax player without that record.
Great stuff. Now moving on to your 20s, so very similar deal, but you're a little bit older. An album that defines your 20s.
Yeah, so this is tricky because I'm technically still in my 20s now, so I kind of had to like do a bit of a juggle between like the current and like make sure that everything was sort of covered. So this was another one when I left university and I almost had like a bit of a step away from being totally engulfed in like the jazz course and practice and all that stuff. I had a bit of like a moment of rediscovering songwriting and writing music for myself and collaboration and just a few things that I think I'd kind of forgotten how much I loved during my time at college. Again, there were a couple of albums, to be fair. The one that I've chosen is like, I think it's probably a lot of people's favourite album of all time. So it's probably not the most original choice, but I've chosen Blue by Joni Mitchell. A few reasons, really. For me, like Joni Mitchell is kind of like a melding of the two worlds. You know, there's the kind of albums that she's done that are like super produced, all the Vince Mendoza arrangements and just some ridiculous players on them all, that kind of comes into the jazz world. But then there's also that like just kind of super folky, like amazing songwriting, and the kind of the meld of those two things is something that really speaks to me. And also I think like I can vividly remember when I was in my teenage years listening to some Joni Mitchell and totally not getting it and being like, no, I don't like that, it's not for me. And in my 20s, just I don't know, it was like a sudden, oh right, it kind of made a bit more sense in a way. I think that album could have easily fit into my current or my wild card or any old place, because it's one that I just always go back to.
Which track do you think best defines that album?
The track that I've chosen is A Case of You. I think just lyrically, kind of sentimentally, and just and everything about it, like musically, the delivery of it and everything, I think it's a perfect song.
Cool. So now moving on to your wild card. So this is whatever album you want to share with us. What have you chosen for this?
So again, like this could have fit into my current one, or it could have fit. I'm all juggly. I guess like I thought that the brief for this was like something that you wouldn't expect me to pick. So that's what I've gone for. I've gone for like a super pop, super modern album that I've just had on loads recently. I think it's just like a really good example of kind of pop songwriting. All the production on it is amazing. And it's Future Nostalgia by Dua Lipa.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I mean, I think that was shortlisted for the Mercury last year, wasn't it? If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, 2020, wasn't it? Yeah,
so yeah, really good pick there.
It's just a massive bop. I just think like in terms of it being a whole album that's super uplifting and kind of great from start to finish. I think when I was sort of thinking about a lot of the music that I've been listening to recently, a lot of the times that I have music on or I'm listening to music, it's kind of like in the car when I'm driving to gigs now that they're slowly coming back. So I tend to listen to quite a lot of like individual songs and not that many full albums. And so recently, kind of this album and then the new album by Lake Street Dive have been just like two albums that I've been enjoying.
Great. And is there a particular track off of that Dua Lipa album that you'd recommend people listen to?
I've chosen Pretty Please just because it's got this really cool thing where it like slows down, but it doesn't.
Okay, now let's move on to the final category, which is current. So this is the album you love the most right now. What have you chosen for this?
So I promised that I was going to loop round full circle and come all the way back to Norah Jones, who could have been my childhood pick. She was one of the first albums that I remember listening to in the car with my mum on repeat in like 2002 or whenever it was. The album that I kind of just listen to all the time is from 2019, actually. So it's not super new. And it's called Begin Again. The reason that I picked this and the reason that I listen to it so much, it's kind of like a collection of singles that she wrote, trying to be kind of a bit more in the moment and focused on collaboration with different artists. So there's all sorts of amazing tracks on there. There's like a track that she wrote with Brian Blade. And it's just a real amazing collection of songs that's so interesting to listen to. And a lot of the kind of work that I've been doing over the past couple of years has been like more focused on songwriting and collaboration with different people. And I just find that album really inspiring. It's just, there's so much in there and there's so much on it and it's all beautiful. But I think of all the albums that I would recommend people to check out, it would be this, because people just think that Norah Jones is still that person who her mum's had on the radio in 2002. But actually, just like all of her albums are incredible.
And is there a particular track from that album that you'd recommend?
The track that I have picked, I guess, is It Was You, which is the only track that actually wasn't a collaboration that she wrote on her own from it. But just to be honest, the whole thing is just great. It's really, really good.
Emma, thanks very much for coming on The Five Albums You'll Hear in Heaven. It's been really interesting learning about your autobiographical album picks.
Thanks so much for having me. I've had a great time.